You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, Nerd Overload's back. All right, your pop and geek culture show is coming at ya. I'm Cody, the handsome one.
I'm Josh, the sensitive one.
I'm Samantha, the bad boy.
And I'm Joey Fatone. We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first, let's talk about some things we have been checking out.
Check it. I'm continuing.
You're continuing the boy band theme?
Good.
Yeah, I like that.
It's gonna be me.
All right. I tell you what, I can go through my thing real quick. I recently downloaded the remaster of Dragon Quest
One,
the original for the Switch the other day.
I haven't played them yet.
Yeah. You know what? I just downloaded the first one because it was only like $5. And I was like,
I got it for free.
Yeah. I just want to kill some time. Yeah. Yeah. I had some spare cash
If you want to kill time, it doesn't get much better than Dragon Quest.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is charming in its simplicity. I think I like it. I mean, I'm almost done with it. I just have to get through the final boss, and there's like barely bosses anyway.
Yeah.
It is interesting how like bare bones this game was.
I mean, it is literally the first of its kind.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that all the battles are... It's okay, so Dragon Quest is an RPG. It's like pretty much what you think of when you think around fighting things.
RPG style RPG game, mm-hmm. And actually the first one.
Yeah.
Is it before the original Final Fantasy?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of things that computer RPG games had been doing beforehand, mm-hmm. and boils them down into a more accessible, console friendly version of. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because it was on the original. It was on the Famicom.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. Like, you don't get a lot of direction. You're basically just plopped down on a map and said, okay, beat the bad guy, but we're not going to really tell you how.
Yeah.
And you just kind of wander around until you figure it out. In that way, it's a lot like Zelda 2.
Mm.
Or like that one Castlevania where...
Castlevania 2.
Castlevania 2, yeah. So it's a lot like that. It's interesting that all of the battles are like one-on-one, which is something that you kind of take for granted with newer RPGs. Because there's always like multiple enemies and multiple party members. No, there's no party members. It's just you and it's just one monster.
There's something like really hardcore and cool about just a one-on-one. Like,
it is.
Pure stats on stats. Like,
yeah. It is also 100% a grind fest. Like, to do anything, you basically have to devote a couple hours just to walking in one spot and fighting the same monsters over and over until they get too easy.
Yeah.
And then you move to the next area and you fight monsters over and over until it gets too easy.
Sorry, you're giving me WoW flashbacks.
Yeah, which, mm-hmm. in most games, I don't care for the grind, but there's something about Dragon Quest grinding that just kind of is relaxing.
It's mindless. It's just mindless walking in one spot and attack a thing. You can listen to like a podcast or watch a movie or something while you're doing it. It is perfect for a handheld.
Yeah.
For some reason, I like RPGs better when they're handheld than when they are straight console.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I've finished so many more RPGs mm-hmm. on handhelds than I have on a console.
I think that's why Pokemon is as big as it is, because if Pokemon were a console game first and then a handheld or whatever, it would not have gotten as big, I believe.
Yeah, well, it's built in, the portability is built into the design with the trading and the battling.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I'm down to the final boss, and I mean, I can fight him now, but I just want to go in overleveled and just roll through it.
Bulldoze the dragon,
Dragon Lord, yeah. The one thing that is a little kind of off-putting at first, they're using the sprites from the iOS port.
They're actually not.
Oh, really?
They're not I don't know where these sprites came from.
Yeah, they're weird.
We were talking about it, actually.
Because I have the iOS port. It uses the Super Famicom sprites.
Oh, really?
I don't know where these ones must be new.
They must be, but they're a little weird.
Yeah, they clash very badly with the 16-bit background.
Yes.
That they still use.
Yes. It was a little jarring at first, and that's kind of why I'm putting off getting the other two. I mean, I'll get them eventually, probably.
Honestly, play through the first three games. It's mm-hmm. totally cool and totally worth it.
Okay, cool.
And honestly, I think I've said this on here before, but the iOS ports are very good.
Really?
They're actually really well done ports.
Mm.
You wouldn't expect that because most things they put on iOS are just shovel garbage.
Oh, yeah.
But these are excellent ports, and the portability goes up a notch when it's on your phone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so
I see that. It works really well. I've played through the first three on my phone, and I've been playing the fourth one recently.
I think I have the fourth one on my DS.
Nice.
Yeah, the phone version of the fourth one is a straight port of the DS one.
Okay, cool. Well, that's pretty much all I checked out. I was going to see Joker today, but then I felt like, no, I want to have a good day.
Like, I haven't seen it either, but like the reviews are so polarized. It's either one way or the other.
Well, it comes down to people who have seen other media that is like this, as opposed to people who are like, this is a brand new thing that I've never seen before. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I need to see The Joker because I've seen Taxi Driver and The King of Comedy. And Falling Down. Have you guys ever seen Falling Down with Michael Douglas?
No.
I have seen like maybe a couple minutes.
Yeah, Falling Down is basically business guy, like an office drone who gets fired from his job
and loses it
and he goes, I'm going to walk from my business, from my office to my home because I just want to go home. And if there's anyone in my way, I'm going to stab or shoot them. And it seems like the Joker from all the reports I've read. And again, can't really say anything until you can't accurately judge something until you actually see it. And that's kind of why, you know, but it seems like the Joker takes elements from those three films specifically, but doesn't do any of them as well as the films that they are taken from.
I saw somebody on Twitter describe it as Falling Clown.
Falling Clown's very good. I like that. I like that. Yeah. And the other thing I've heard is that it actually, I was really expecting Joker to be like, oh, they're using the name and like a couple of things, but it's going to be set in New York and not Gotham City, and it's barely going to have anything to do. No. Apparently, it is like full-blown Gotham City. Thomas Wayne is like a major character in the film.
Yeah, I read a review about it, and it kind of had like some kind of spoiler bits in it.
Yeah.
Why do they always make Batman's villains older than Batman all the time?
Yeah, it's like,
what is this fascination with doing this?
I don't know. Like, do they just want the power fantasy of having, oh man, Batman is beating up that octogenarian?
Yeah.
That old clown man?
That poor mentally ill old man.
See, that's the thing. He's also, I mean, yeah, the Joker is, you know, the movie that this is presenting, it's from the way it sounds. Again, don't know until we see it, and I'll probably see it sometime this week and actually have an actual review of it. But from the way it sounds, it's like, yeah, he murdered a guy, but also he's just very mentally ill.
Like, from what I...
And that
like,
is a little...
Like, from what I read, like, some of the things in the movie do happen, and then there are other things that actually didn't
There's
happen.
One in particular that I know what you're talking about that will spoil next week. But yeah, so I didn't watch that because I wanted to have a good day. It's not my kind of movie. Those kind of films are not usually what I go in when I see movies. I don't want to leave a theater feeling worse than I did when I walked in. Life is hard enough. Yeah. I want to enjoy the media that I consume.
Oh, I like a movie that makes me feel weird afterwards.
Feel weird is one thing, but
this
like...
This doesn't seem to be good enough to even elicit...
Yeah.
Emotion. Like, yeah, and true then, emotion.
Yeah, and then on top of that, you have some of the stuff that the director, Todd Phillips, has said about, oh, well, I had to do a serious movie because you can't do comedy in this country anymore because no one can be funny without upsetting anybody. But no, that's not the case, because if you can't be funny without upsetting people, and if you can't be funny. then you're not really funny in the first place. But that's a completely different discussion.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So... Let's see. I've played a few things.
Cool.
I beat the feathers off of Untitled Goose Game.
Everybody loves that goose game.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people just like the memes.
Yeah. All right. So what is Untitled Goose Game?
Untitled Goose Game is made by a studio called House House. And it is it's a very simple but very interesting game where you play a very rotten goose.
A nasty goose.
Yeah. Isn't the name of the game in Japan like Beware the Mischievous Goose? Something
I
that?
I don't know, but that would make sense.
Yeah.
Like, artistically, it's very interesting.
It's very simple.
Very simple. What just everything? There's no outlines or anything. It's all just blocks of color forming.
Flat color.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Controls are very simple. There's a button to honk. There's a button to grab things. There's a button to duck. And there's a button to flap your wings around.
It's a goose. Not a duck. God,
bad joke.
No, that was a good joke, but please continue.
But it has like elements of like a stealth game. And then you have like, and it's also kind of a puzzle game because you have like this checklist of things you have to complete before you can go to the new area.
What are some of the things you would have to complete?
Let's see here. There was in the first level a thing called Make a Picnic, and you had to drag a basket and some vegetables and a radio to a blanket.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with the radio is as soon as you grab it, it turns on and the noise attracts the farmer.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll take it away from you.
But that's okay. You can menace the farmer and steal his keys. And
you can lock him out of the garden.
Lock him out of his garden and get him wet.
Yep.
Steal his hat.
Steal his hat. There's a couple characters you steal their hats.
Yeah. You can straight up terrorize a child.
Yes. Yep. Terrorize a child and make him lock himself in a phone booth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I stole a toy that belonged to the child and put it on the counter that belongs to a shop owner. And when the kid went to pick it up, the shop owner stopped him and made him pay for it.
Yeah, so you're basically just this goose that is going around terrorizing town and stealing things.
You are an agent of chaos.
Yes. Yeah, I've been watching some gameplay of it. I watched you sit and play a little bit for a bit, and it looks like a lot of fun.
It is. It's very simple. You can beat it very quickly.
Yeah, it's like an hour and a half worth of actual gameplay if you're going beginning to end, like speedrunning it.
Yep, and then there's like, and then after you beat the game, they give you a list of other tasks to perform, and then after that, there are speed challenges, and it's like, oof.
I think somebody did end up speedrunning it in like 4 minutes.
Man, that's, whoo.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
But some of the best stuff, though, has been like just the storm of like art and memes that have flooded the internet.
Oh, yeah, the memes of the goose stealing like famous pop culture things and terrorizing people.
It's honestly almost made me sick of the goose, and I have not even played the game yet.
I mean, it got a bit hot there for a second.
Yeah.
I really like the Metal Gear references, though.
I mean, it is a stealth game.
Mm-hmm.
Colonel, I'm a dumb goose, and the sound of my honks are alerting the guards. Oh, man. There's one point where you're like running through all the areas with an object, and everyone's trying to steal it from you. The kid tried to take it away from me, and I just honked at the kid and made him cry and run away. But that was an interesting game.
Mm-hmm.
I started playing Overwatch again. I wanted that Bastion Lego skin, which is amazing.
It's a very good skin.
And it's very tactical. Like, your shooting's really quiet and your footsteps are really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But when you die, you fall apart in pieces and it makes that satisfying plastic Lego sound.
Yeah.
Tried some of the new characters. I'm bad at most of them. But yeah, I'm just kind of waiting for the Halloween event to drop because it's like the best event they have.
Oh, I always like the Halloween event. It's the most fun. I got the new ukulele in the Impossible Lair.
Okay.
It's pretty fun.
So is this
it's,
the second ukulele game?
It's a side game because it's not a 3D platformer. It's a 2D platformer.
Oh, interesting.
And it is a lot like the Donkey Kong Country games.
Oh, nice.
In a good way. It's very reminiscent of like Tropical Freeze.
Mm.
Mm.
That's a good game.
Yeah. And this is just as good. It's probably better than the first ukulele.
Like it scratched like an itch for you?
Yeah. Well, I'm always in the mood for a good platformer, and this definitely seems like it so far. It does break up the standard platform levels. In between, there's like top-down puzzle solving, almost Zelda-esque stuff, and you can do things in that world that affects the levels that you play. Like, you could open up a dam and it floods the level, the previous level you were at.
Mm.
So then when you go back, it's a water level.
Oh, cool.
And that's kind of neat. I don't get Platonic's preoccupation with bees. The whole thing is collecting bees, and there's a queen bee, and then the bad guy's name is Capital Bee.
Mm.
And it's like, I don't get why they're bees, because the main character is he's a gecko.
Yeah.
And the other one's a bat. Like, I don't get where bees come in.
Yeah, I don't know.
But whatever.
I like bees.
Yeah, they're cute, I guess.
Dr. Bees!
What else we got? We watched a bunch of horror movies because
it's October.
It's time. Mm-hmm. We haven't watched as many as we usually do because
work in school.
Yeah, because work in school. We're a lot busier this month than we have been previous
years.
October times.
Okay. So, what do we got?
We got, first one we watched was Parents, which is a weird movie with Randy Quaid in it.
Okay. Sure.
It's about a kid whose parents are cannibals.
It's set in like the 50s.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And because they're like a perfect, you know, 50s
atomic family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's just really weird.
It's shot weird. I don't know. Besides, it's weird.
Yeah. I get what they were going for. They're going for like when you're a kid and you see something that adults are doing and you don't understand it and it makes you feel weird. That's what like this whole movie is.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I don't know if I'd recommend that one. I mean, if you want to watch something weird with cannibals in it.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. But
I wouldn't say it was scary.
No, definitely. It wasn't
scary. Was it more like a psychological kind of film?
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. But psychological horror is like one of my favorites. Yeah.
But it was also kind of weirdly cartoonish too. Mm. Like
a little over the top.
It couldn't decide if it wanted to be like satire or
scary or yeah. And so it ended up being
weird. Just weird.
Like, well, not good at any of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But not bad either.
Mm-hmm.
After, what did we watch after that? Emily, yeah, then we watched Emily, which is on, you can watch that one on Netflix.
Okay.
Parents is on Amazon Prime.
Mm.
Emily is on Netflix. It's about, this one was pretty, like, I don't know, it was kind of weird, too. It was another weird one. We've been having...
But more upsetting.
Yeah. This one was, I would say it was a better movie. It's, parents want to go out for their anniversary, so they hire a babysitter that they don't really know that well.
Mm.
Like, she's a friend of their normal babysitter, is that what it is?
Yeah.
A friend of, air quotes there.
But the babysitter they hired gets abducted on the way to the house.
They show it like right away, so you know.
That's how the movie opens.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
New babysitter being abducted, and this strange woman shows up at the house. They think it's the babysitter they're supposed to get.
Oh.
But it's not. It's a crazy lady.
You're like, oh, God, what is she going to do?
Yeah, what's she going to do to these kids? And it gets... weird.
Yeah. Okay.
What stuff does she do? Like
some stuff we can't.
You probably can't get into a lot of the stuff.
And it turns out that this woman had a child of her own that she accidentally smothered.
Mm.
And wants to steal the youngest kid from this family.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's pretty wild. That's,
Yeah, it was a wild movie.
Yeah.
Once again, like, I didn't love it or anything, but it gives you the creepy feels.
Oh, yeah, she does a really good job, whoever plays Emily.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And then we watched The Orphanage, which is a Guillermo del Toro produced.
Oh, I remember that being a thing a few years ago.
And it was pretty good. Back,
yeah.
A family moves into an old orphanage that the mom used to live in, and their kid disappears, and there's spooky children everywhere.
Oh, spooky kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
It wasn't super scary, but it was a good ghost story, I would say.
Cool.
Speaking of orphanages, did you see like that real news story that's basically the movie Orphan?
Yeah.
That lady like thought she was adopting like a Ukrainian child with special needs or something, and she turns out to be like a 22-year-old with dwarfism or something.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then the 22-year-old started threatening to kill the whole family. Like, yeah.
And so
weird.
Like they set her up in an apartment and like moved away, but then they tried to take him to court for abandonment or something. Like, no, she's 22.
Okay.
Did you want to talk about what is it? Heck.
Oh, I forgot about Haxan.
Haxan. Man, that is a schlocky title.
Okay, let's hear it.
It is actually a silent movie.
Mm.
That's like,
how old is it? Oh, 20s? It's a Swedish silent movie that's probably one of the first documentaries, although it starts playing it pretty fast and loose after the first 20 minutes, about witchcraft.
Oh, interesting.
Huh. It goes over, like, witchcraft through the ages. It is actually the English title. Oh, it was just really, really cool imagery of witches and the devil. And
it's worth watching.
Yeah.
So it's called Hexan?
Haxan. H-A-X-A-N. Mm.
Sounds like a Pokemon.
I think there's some umlauts over the A or something.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
but it like purports itself to be a factual account with not reenactments, but like, what's the word? Just like imaginings based on true events, I think is how the movie puts it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the more entertaining silent movies I've ever seen. Like, it definitely holds your attention.
Okay. Interesting.
Wait, so it's a documentary, but it's also a silent film?
Mm-hmm. You read a lot.
Oh, yeah.
There is actually a voiced version that I wish we would have watched that's narrated by William S. Burroughs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and nice. It has a jazz soundtrack behind it.
Excellent.
I might go back and watch it again that way.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Didn't you say it cut some parts out, though?
Yeah, because it's pretty risque for the time. Like,
oh, really?
You might see a butt cheek.
Yeah, you might see a butt.
Oh, man.
Well, and it talks about the devil a lot.
Yeah.
Apparently witches like to kiss the devil's butt.
Fun.
Yeah,
fun.
Yeah, and they show it.
Okay.
There's a lot of really good special effects for the time. Like, there's some cool stuff.
So you said this movie was made in the 20s?
I think, or the 30s. Let me check real quick.
Well, while you're checking that out, this horror movie talk and things with umlauts reminded me. I did watch a scary movie. No, it wasn't a scary movie. It was a dumb, badly produced movie. Ever told you guys about the movie Black Roses?
No.
The name sounds familiar.
Okay, so it is one of those 80s horror movies that is like the trouble with heavy metal music.
Oh.
So it's like an evil heavy metal band comes into this little town to perform like 5 or 6 like concerts and they're like turning the town into like all the town's kids into like punkers or whatever. But then the band is also, they're also monsters. And like some of the prosthetic work is kind of interesting. At one point there is a monster that comes through a speaker and grabs like the guy, one of the guys from, The Sopranos.
This sounds really familiar.
And but some of the other effects, like it's just a dollar store skeleton that they shake around.
So like Army of Darkness.
A little bit, yeah.
House on the Hill, is that the?
It kind of, yeah, that too.
I think I might have seen this movie. This sounds really familiar.
It's pretty cheesy. I mean, the hero of the movie is a high school teacher with a weird mustache that just has a jug of gasoline that he lights things on fire with. That's basically it. It's bad. It's one of those enjoyably bad movies, but it's technically a horror movie.
Like Chopping Mall.
Kind of, yes, a lot like Chopping Mall.
Everybody should watch. I love
everyone
that
should watch like Chopping Pepperoni. Mall.
Anyway, Haxan was completed in 1920 and released in 1922.
Oh, wow.
It's based on the director's research into the Malleus Maleficarum, which was a 15th century guidebook for inquisitors dealing with witches.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Huh.
I just wanted to say Malleus Maleficarum.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah. That's a pretty, like, Warhammer 40K sounding kind of thing. I mean, all this talk about, like, horror movies and stuff, it makes me want to go back and watch some of my, like, favorite kind of horror, but also sort of not horror movies.
Yeah,
like Let the Right One In.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think that's on our list.
I love that movie.
That's a very good one.
Like the American remake
is okay.
Is not bad.
Let Me In's okay, but Let the Right One In is really
it's
good.
So good. Yeah. It almost made me want to read the book, but then I read stuff about the book, and I was like, no.
All right. Well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into some news.
Ooh.
Welcome back to Nerd Overload. That was the Halloween song from The Worst Witch.
The laugh is so good.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah.
So we're back. We're going to talk about some news.
In case you people couldn't pick it up, he was being Tim Curry.
Oh, no, everybody. No, everybody knew I was being Tim Curry.
We played that because it's October now.
It's October.
We play spooky songs.
Spooky songs. It's Halloween times.
As is tradition.
Yes. So let's go ahead and get into a little bit of news. What do we want to start with? There's a bit. I mean, there's a lot of like little stuff because it was a New York Comic Con last weekend.
Yep. And a bunch of little news has kind of trickled out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The big news only comes from San Diego, but the little news comes from New York.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, okay, well, you know what? Let's, you know, I'm going to take the reins on this one. Let's start with the one that, like, it came out right before Comic-Con started, and it was, like, one of the weirdest things. So Wendy's made a D&D. You guys, yeah. Wendy's made a D&D.
They made their own tabletop role-playing game.
Mm-hmm.
Module thing.
Game. It's an entire game system
based around saving the land from frozen beef.
From the deep freeze.
From the deep freeze, yes.
The art looks amazing.
It is really good.
They did a very good job with this whole thing.
It was very reminiscent of like D&D 3.5 like books, like uh-huh. the way the art was. And I was like, which a lot of that was done by like Todd Lockwood and stuff. And I'm like, it's exciting.
Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is free online. Like they put the entire thing out just for free as a PDF.
You can download a PDF for it.
I'm sure mm-hmm. they're going to start selling it as a real book.
They've been talking about, yeah, I've been well, kind of following
were,
it.
There were, I thought there were real books at
There
Comic-Con.
Were limited editions of the real book at a New York Comic Con. And then people on Twitter keep asking them, are you going to put out a real book? And they're, Twitter account, which is notoriously pretty coy and pretty like snarky about things, is like, we've been talking to some people.
They
so
also
they're
had
probably
they also
be
had
it.
Some very limited edition dice.
They did. Yes.
There's D20s and on the 20 instead of a 20, it was Wendy's face.
Oh, so that's pretty cool.
It was a white dice.
That's pretty cool. So along with that, the tabletop live play juggernaut, whatever you want to call it, Critical Role,
the very popular D&D podcast.
I have never watched an entire episode of Critical Role.
No, I haven't either.
Something about it just
I get tired of hearing Matt Mercer's name.
Yes.
I'm sure he's a great guy.
I'm sure he's a wonderful human being.
Nothing but good things
and I'm sure the podcast has brought a lot of attention to D&D and got people started. Mm-hmm. But I am sick and tired of seeing his name plastered everywhere.
Every single little thing. Yeah, it's at this point it's one of those things where I'm avoiding it on principle. But they but they did a one shot where they played
the game.
The game where I think one of them was like from the land of spicy chicken and one was a frosty knight or a frosty witch or something. Yeah. I wanna do a game of it. I think it looks pretty fun.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
It definitely wouldn't be the weirdest role-playing game I've ever done.
Oh, no, sure.
I mean, I have Pugmire at home, where you're dogs.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't there one that, this is apropos of nothing, there was a webcomic a while back called Battle Pug, and I'm pretty sure they did a D&D module of that where you're a bear barbarian riding on the back of a giant horse-sized pug.
I mean, probably.
Yeah, that seems like a thing that exists.
The Adventure Zone has always been the D&D podcast for me.
Yeah.
I love it because they're not very good at it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one that I listen to called Gem Jammer. They're doing, it's a Spell Jammer.
Oh, Spell Jammer's neat.
Yeah, and they basically use it as an excuse to go from planet to planet and use different rule sets
mm-hmm.
with their thing.
There was there was another D&D module a while ago that allowed you to like kind of travel between realities or whatever. And it was called, I can't remember what it was called, but it had like, basically there was a place with a bunch of doors and it was almost like the forest in Nightmare Before Christmas where it just led to different places.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But you could go from like Forgotten Realms to like the Dragonlance world or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
I just can't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
The forest, what has the many doors. That's what it was called.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see a movie where Jack goes to St. Patrick Land.
And everyone is drunk. What's this? The smell of vomit in the air.
What's this? Everyone has red hair. What's this?
All right, so let's go ahead and move on to another topic because, like, the Wendy's thing. Yeah, they did a D&D, and it's pretty great.
And that's the
news.
I want to say it's in November. Wizards is releasing an official like Rick and Morty like. Follow-up to their last thing they did.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's going to be like an actual like D&D set.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, hey, speaking of Rick and Morty, there was a trailer for the new season or half season or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Five episodes, I guess, is all it is.
I mean, if they got contracted to do 9 more seasons, I'd want to do less work per season too.
Well, yeah, they got contracted to do like 70 episodes or something ridiculous.
Yeah,
something I know they don't have the material for.
Yeah, but anyway, this trailer for season 4, it looks fine. I will be honest, I fell off of Rick and Morty pretty early
after the sauce incident.
Yeah, the sauce thing really kind of burnt me.
After you saw that man rolling on the floor and making weird noises,
yelling Pickle Rick, and squealing like a pig,
to try and get his sauce at McDonald's.
His weird McDonald's sauce. Yeah, that was a weird thing that really kind of soured me on the whole thing. But there were.
I think you should cut in the sounds of him squealing.
No, nobody
needs to hear that. I kind of soured on it, but there were a couple good jokes in that trailer. I mean, I won't watch this season. But
it's mercifully short.
Yes, mercifully short. I like that. That's a good way of putting it.
Which every season they've had since the first one has had about 5 good episodes in it.
Yeah.
So maybe these will be all 5 good ones. Or maybe they'll be the 5 bad ones. We'll just have to wait and see.
Just roll the dice and find out, I guess.
I mean, the Meeseekses are coming back, so I'm excited. And Mr.
PBH.
Yeah. Seems like he's teaching college now.
Did they need to bring the Meeseeks back, though? Remember when they brought back Interdimensional Cable and it wasn't as good?
Yeah.
Well, even Rick is like, what are you doing? Like a sequel for some reason.
Yeah. At least the creators are kind of aware that when they're phoning it in.
Yeah.
And that is a little bit of the charm, is for them to say, yeah, we're making this cartoon that people seem to love, but we just don't care.
And some of the fans make us really hate it.
Like, they're like a show. I've never seen a show, for better or worse, I've never seen a show have so much disdain for their
For itself
and its own fans and viewers.
Yeah. Like a South Park that we watched.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we watched one of the new South Parks because I was curious.
Yeah, sure.
I used to be a huge South Park fan.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of...
I still have a soft spot for Trey Parker, Matt and Trey. Yeah.
And there was Randy in the show went on a tirade about how he hated South Park and forget South Park.
Like the town?
Yeah. And it sounded like Matt and Trey were speaking directly at us, the audience.
Yeah. Well, it's very clear that they don't want to do the show anymore, but they kind of have to.
Because that's their job.
It's what people know them for now.
It doesn't even have the South Park theme song anymore.
Oh, really?
Now it's... Well, in the plot, Randy has started a pot farm because they live in Colorado, where it's legal.
Oh, yeah.
So he's up and moved their whole family out to the country to grow weed at his pot farm called Tegrity Farms. So the opening is Tegrity Farms, and the end sequence, that instrumental, that dun, 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 mm-hmm. He just goes Tegrity Farms over top of it. Like,
wow.
So they're like trying to like halfway turn it into a different show, even though it's still the same show.
Well, you know, you gotta hand it to them. They gotta try something different. It's been 50 years.
And the episode itself was not great. It wasn't bad. It wasn't outwardly bad, but
yeah,
it was.
Do you feel like maybe South Park's lost its teeth a little bit? Or maybe the people just don't care about it anymore?
I don't think it's gotten, on its own, I don't think it's gotten worse, but people care less, so the creators know that they could just put in less effort. I think it's snake eating its own tail of apathy and less people caring about the show, which causes more apathy, which causes less people to care about the
show.
I think the concept of this episode was good. I just don't think they fulfilled it well enough.
Gotcha.
I mean, yeah. the whole conceit of it was that it was, it's too political.
Okay, that's kind of the other thing. It's gotten incredibly political a lot of times.
I mean, they'll talk about like things that like, you know, shows that have been going on that probably should end. And this isn't on the list, but there was a Comic-Con announcement is they released the new opening for the new Steven Universe.
Yeah, this is the final season.
Yes, they said it's going to be the final
season.
Where
it's kind of in the future a little bit, or a little bit.
It takes place pretty much right after the movie.
After the movie, yeah.
It's a mini-series event.
Yeah,
and that's fine.
Yeah.
To wrap up everything?
I mean, the tail end of the show basically was all just miniseries because they stopped putting out regular episodes at a regular...
The Steven Bombs.
Yeah, and they started doing like 5 episodes every couple of months.
Yeah, Cartoon Network does dumb stuff with their schedules like that.
Yeah.
I really wish they wouldn't.
Yeah, but then again, if they're doing it like that, that is very similar to the Rick and Morty thing, or like before the show we mentioned the Venture Brothers, where Venture Brothers basically are told, hey, we love your show. Just do at your own pace and put them out whenever you have a couple done.
Well, that's the thing. With Venture Brothers, there is no bad episodes of Venture Brothers.
That's great.
Like the show is on fire every episode.
And with the Steven Bombs, I mean, it's like, you know, they have the time to
make
their show.
There were some episodes that weren't as good.
Well, there's some definite filler in there.
There's some definite filler, but also... There's merchandise for Steven Universe where there is no merchandise for Venture Brothers.
That's not 100%.
Venture Brothers sells T-shirts and DVDs. Can you buy a toy of
I think there's figures.
Venture Brothers?
I actually think
there
there's figures.
There was once.
There was one at one time.
One time they did like collectible Mego style Venture Brothers figures.
But like the...
during Adult Swim's heyday.
Yeah. Yeah. But like a good section of Hot Topic is Steven Universe stuff. Yeah. So like they have to put stuff out.
Yeah, I know. I look at that stuff every time I come.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they release the thing. It's basically the opening for the miniseries. Mm-hmm. And it's basically just a song. It's
the theme sequence.
Well, it's a song that's in the movie.
Oh, well, I haven't seen the movie yet. So.
Yeah, it's not even really 100% the original theme anymore.
No, it's pretty much pretty different. Yeah.
It's a different series, I said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They said Steven Universe ended. This is a new series.
Yeah, this is Steven Universe Future is the title.
Speaking of shows that could be ending, did you know that Family Guy isn't re-upped for another season?
Good.
Fine.
Yeah, not that any of us like Family Guy, but it's just weird that like...
I like old Family Guy.
Yeah.
That like, it's been a staple of Fox so long and they haven't re-upped it past this season.
Huh. Well, they'll figure something out.
Does Disney not want to do this raunchy, dirty show? Is that what it is?
No, like, there's probably going to be something behind it, you know. Okay, so other trailers of things. There was another trailer for Star Trek Picard and it
seemed to focus more on... Well, I mean...
Focused on laser beams.
Well, yes.
this one had more...
Plot.
Yeah, stuff to grab onto. The other ones were just, like, some images.
Yeah.
And some old faces returning.
Yeah. Riker's back. Riker and Deanna Troi.
Yep.
It looked like.
Yep.
And their child.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is pretty great.
and how Riker kind of sounded kind of done with his kid.
It looks good. I'm still a little concerned about the series on the whole because a lot of modern day Star Trek is all about the laser beams in space.
The Flash.
And the Flash. And
it's more about the Flash and not the substance.
Yeah. 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 And like a lot of the shots are in like weird sepia tone.
Yeah.
Like the trailer was very brown, except for when they were in space, which they were very blue. Yeah. That was a little troubling. Also, the amount of like laser beams and explosions and stuff is almost reminiscent of the new Trek or like the Discovery.
I'm kind of hoping that's like maybe like a episode because a lot of those seem
it's
like
good
the
sci-fi.
Same.
It's not Star Trek.
Yeah,
it's not Next Gen. Next Gen was not about blowing stuff up and running down hallways.
Nope. Every Next Gen was some deeper philosophical thing, and then you see two ships. One shoots at the other one blows up, and then it's done.
They're submarine battles. Star Trek is submarine battles. Star Wars is flying through space real fast.
Yeah. Well, Star Wars is World War II fighter planes.
Yeah. So it's a little troubling. I'm still a little concerned. I have a feeling that when Picard is all said and done, people are going to go, wow, the episodes where they're like, hey, there's 7 of 9. There's Riker. I know those people. Those are going to be the good ones.
I clapped when I saw it.
Yeah, exactly. And the episodes that have any like new characters or new content or anything that progresses the plot is going to be looked at and gone, kind of sucked.
Yeah, where's the Tribbles?
Yeah.
Where's the
man, that Vulcan.
Give me Worf.
Yeah, where's Worf?
That's what they should have done. Instead of getting like Vulcan swordman guy. They should have had Worf.
They should have had Son of Worf.
Son of Worf.
David.
I was a teenage Worf.
Well, that depends on how they're going to do it, because I don't know if the Star Trek Online stuff is canon or not.
Mm.
Because in that, David joined a bunch of Klingon rebels, and then he eventually dies.
Well, yeah. I have a feeling that in the trailer for Picard, that starship captain with the cigar, the one that looks like Han Solo, is probably going to be the son of someone.
It's Han Solo.
Yeah.
When you die in Star Wars, you appear in Star Trek.
Yes, that's it. That's how it goes.
I'm glad that CBS and Paramount are so eager to make new Star Trek content because they want that Star Trek money.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wish they got what Star Trek was a little better.
Yeah. And yeah.
Or didn't actively try to make it something it wasn't. Don't make it Star Wars.
It's because they were afraid that their viewership won't pay attention to a smart, heady show with not a lot of action. That's a lot of talking. Because, yeah, if you go back and watch old Star Trek with the new Star Trek mindset,
it is kind of boring.
It's boring.
I mean, there's whole episodes where it's this shot on the ship and it's this interpersonal relationship, which, don't get me wrong, I loved.
Those are the best episodes.
Like, where they're all like playing poker together.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some weird holodeck thing.
Listen, not every episode could be the Borg. Yeah.
Exactly.
But
this trailer makes it look like it's all going to be the Borg.
Oh, I forgot the name of the Seth MacFarlane Star Trek show.
Orville.
Orville. Orville's not always action.
Orville is more Star Trek than modern Star Trek.
Yeah, and people like it just fine.
Yeah.
And they should, because
Orville is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that show.
It is a fantastic show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Star Trek, and I feel that the amount of years from the end of Enterprise and the new movies to the newest Star Trek thing when the J.J. Abrams stuff was coming out was so far displaced.
Yeah.
Plus,
Enterprise didn't do very well.
No, and it wasn't very good.
I blame Scott Bakula.
Like, there was some good acting in the show.
Should have quantum leaped into a better show.
Yeah.
I mean, there was some good acting in the show. There was just a lot of bad writing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the one thing you can't have with Star Trek.
You can't, yeah.
No, like it tripped over itself and its own continuity.
But you know what? If you put enough lens flares and flashes and explosions, you can mask bad writing with things blowed up.
Well, don't get me wrong. I watched all the J.J. Abrams movies in the theaters.
Oh, I did too. And yeah, they were fine sci-fi action films that weren't Star Trek.
Yeah. They should have never gave Star Trek to J.J. Abrams.
Yeah. That was kind of a mistake.
I'm not excited for more J.J. Abrams Star Wars either. I mean, I want to see the movie. I want to see it as soon as possible when it comes out.
I'm very curious to see how it goes. I'm cautiously optimistic. I think I may be one of the few people that actually liked the second one.
I like The Last Jedi.
You like The Last Jedi? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the pacing wasn't the best, but it's still a good movie.
It lost me at Casino Planet. Honestly, that could have been removed completely from the script, and
it wouldn't have affected the overall story.
It would have flowed a lot better. Like, if they would have spent the whole movie with Finn in a coma and had Finn have a triumphant return in this one, in the third one, or ninth one, rather, mm-hmm. I guess, whatever. Yeah. I think it would have flowed a lot better.
Mm.
But, yeah.
Hey, I don't like how there doesn't seem to be any Rose merchandise, and that they've actively erased her from merchandise she used to be on.
That bothers me.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm wondering if maybe they're trying to, like, maybe when the movie comes out, we'll see more stuff.
No, what they're trying to do is they remember that people didn't like Rose because people are awful.
Yeah.
Human beings are awful.
Oh, yeah, and I felt really bad for
Disney
that poor actress.
Playing it safe.
I thought she was a delight.
And I thought she was great.
One of the better parts of the movie.
Yeah,
I liked her character.
The only thing I didn't like about her character was the forced romantic thing at the very end. That was weird.
Yeah, that was the part I didn't like.
Everything else about her character I enjoyed, and the actress was so excited to be
in
Star
Wars. Star
Wars, and people ruined it.
Yeah.
People ruined it, and that is. And
if you really think about it, Star Wars fans have ruined a lot of things for a lot of Star Wars actors.
Yeah.
Like, the guy who played Jar Jar Binks had a real hard time.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, I don't like the character, but the actor did not deserve the flack that he got.
That is the thing. People, you take a role, you act in the role. People shouldn't catch crap for a bad movie role.
Exactly.
If it's written.
Unless they ruined it.
Unless they actively ruined it.
But the guy that played Jar Jar was the best Jar Jar you could be.
He did the best he could given the material. Rose did the best she could given the material, and by and large, she was great, but people have very weird and bad preconceived notions about how they want their Star Wars to be, and they ruined it.
It makes me ashamed to be a Star Wars fan.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Mark Hamill was amazing.
I thought he was, too.
I loved his performance.
Yeah, I thought he was, too.
I was fine with Big Lebowski Skywalker.
Yeah. People wanted him to be a cartoon character.
Or to be some legendary hero being.
Yeah, but he was instead an actual human being.
Yeah.
Which he'd been the whole time.
Yeah, it was a natural progression for Luke's character to become a weird hermit. Yeah. Because that's how he learned how to be a Jedi.
From a weird hermit.
Two
weird hermits. Yeah. So it's like, okay, I guess this is what I go do now.
This is what Jedis do.
I have to go get my green milk from right from the tap.
Speaking of Star Wars, though, did you see that the guy who played Wedge is coming back?
Yeah, Wedge is coming back.
Whoop-de-doo!
They ran out of people to bring back, so now they're really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
I clapped when I saw it.
I mean, in the extended universe stuff, he was kind of a bigger character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple movies from now, they're going to have to try and get you excited about Figrin Dan coming.
Oh, man, I would be totally ready for Figrin Dan and the Modal Nodes.
Guys, Max Rebo is in this one.
Man, I really hope that The Mandalorian just does gangbusters.
We talked about this last time, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
About how it looks like the Star Wars movie show they made for me personally.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
By the way, I saw some figures and stuff for the show. It's not IG-88, it's IG-11.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's his brother.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably the long line of all those stupid droids.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, that was his whole bit that he was creating.
Yeah,
he was bounty hunting to save money to build a bunch of droids of and then put his brain into all the droids for a droid uprising. Yeah.
Yep. They're all connected.
Yep. Oh, hey. So let's move on to another thing. So, hey, remember when Spider-Man wasn't going to be in the Marvel movies anymore? And I specifically said, they're going to fix this. This isn't news. Guess what?
They fixed it. It wasn't news.
It wasn't news.
I called it. Banner comes down.
Yeah.
The room's full of balloons.
Okay. The shark out and sweep all this confetti.
Yep.
Apparently, Tom Holland did a lot of the legwork.
He did. I got to hand it to him. Yeah.
And convinced the head of Sony and Disney's Bob Iger to work it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's going to happen is there's going to be one more Marvel and Disney co-produced Spider-Man standalone film. And then he is going to show up again one more time in a crossover event type movie. And then that's it. That's it for the contract.
Until they have to work out another one. Until hopefully they do.
Basically, yeah.
We'll get Night Monkey.
Or until Disney purchases all of Known Fiction.
Yeah, yeah, which is coming. Yeah. It's coming. But
hey, if they could buy Redwall, that'd be great. I'd love to see some Disney-produced Redwall.
That would be pretty great. Yeah,
they might own it and not even know.
Yeah. At this point, you know.
I have to go back and look to see who made the TV shows.
but anyway, this is pretty big, exciting news. I'm glad that they're going to continue doing good Spider-Man movies. Tom Holland's a delight.
I can imagine him just standing there like looking at both of them in the office, like kind of like fiddling with his hoodie or whatever, goes, what did I do wrong? Don't you love me anymore?
Mommy, Daddy, please.
Tommy need a bigger paycheck.
But I love him. Like he's a delight to follow on social media and stuff.
Yes, yeah.
He's the best live action Spider-Man we've had.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, except for Japanese Spider-Man.
Supaita Man.
I mean, he's the emissary of hell. How can you beat that?
The emissary of hell. Spider-Man.
I had no idea how they were going to write themselves out of the hole they made with the last movie without Spider-Man actually being there.
Yeah, my.
So now we don't have to worry about
that. We don't have to worry about that. We're going to get one more movie about people knowing that Peter Parker's Spider-Man and dealing with that.
And then somehow something's going to happen.
Fall into the Spider-Verse.
It's going to fall into they're setting up a multiverse in Doctor Strange, so that's an easy out. I honestly, I really hope this next Spider-Man movie has to do with Kraven the Hunter.
That would mean, that's something we haven't seen yet.
And with people knowing his true identity and thinking that he murdered someone, it makes perfect sense that the world's greatest big game hunter is going to come after
Yeah.
Well, I read an article the other day where, you know, if you look at Far From Home again, there's a possibility that Mysterio might not even really be dead.
Oh, sure.
Well, I'm sure he's not.
I'm sure he's not. Yeah, it would be nice for a movie to not kill their antagonist.
That's what I loved about Homecoming.
Yeah.
Vulture just went to jail. He didn't die.
See? Yeah. That's good.
Because you don't want a high school kid killing somebody.
Yeah.
Well, also the fact that Michael Keaton was a delight in that role.
Yeah. He was very good.
He was terrifying just as himself.
Mm-hmm. Such a good movie. Yeah. All the new Spider-Man, both the new Spider-Mans are good.
Though, looking back on it, he did feel pretty shoehorned into the Civil War. Like, he's just some kid that Tony Stark happened to, like,
but
read
it was,
about.
No, but I mean, I liked it. I liked that, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
God, that was some of the best stuff. That made me instantly fall in love with the character.
We knew just as much as we needed to about Spider-Man to put him into Civil War. I think that made him more exciting.
Absolutely.
And the fact they didn't rehash his origin story
again. We haven't gotten an origin story for this Spider-Man. We know it. We don't need to know it. Yeah.
I wish DC would figure that out and stop shooting the Waynes.
It happens in Joker.
I know.
That was my Joker. That's my Joker audition laugh. That I just did.
Nailed it. Perfect. 100%.
I saw on Twitter where people had been changing his laugh in a scene to different pop culture
laughs.
Yeah,
and
the Seth Rogen one killed me.
Yeah,
I
that's
like
really
the
good.
Peter Griffin one.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Hey, Batman.
All right. Well, hey, we are at time, so we should probably go ahead and wrap things up for the week.
Wow. We didn't use any of this stuff.
Hey, plenty for next week, so we're good.
We ranted.
Yeah. So anyway, you've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
Get your parents' permission to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
We are also on various podcast catchers like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverload now. If you like the show and want to help support us, you can get the show a couple days early, which is pretty neat. And shirts. We sell shirts. Go to Nerd Overload and click the store link. They're over there. They're good shirts.
We all own some.
We do own some.
I own all of them.
Yeah.
Collect them all.
Collect them all.
Envy of your neighborhood.
That's exactly right.
And it helps support the show.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, thank you again for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.